The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Raider Greg, and here we are. Where we are, we didn't think we would be here. I surely didn't. We'll talk about that and more here on show 670. On today's show, we will have a post game for my little kitties. Yeah, well, the prince, Lawrence, you know, he wasn't spectacular for a first round pick. You'd think there'd be more there, but enough to beat us. We'll talk about that. And a little more, we got the Myers trade happening today, which, you know, don't tell me you're trying to win and then trade away the best receiver on the team. We'll get into that too. A little pregame for the Broncos. They can't wait to get their hands on us because, well, they're a good team. Then we'll do the bone line, my favorite part. That should send us on to next week and to more adventures with the Raider Nation. Okay, so you think the Raiders just lost by 1 point. I say that with all the, you know, the gum assassin had all kinds of coach speak.
Second half, including overtime, Geno was 15-19, three touchdowns, was distributing the ball. Is that, did it kind of just, not that it dawned on him that of the weapons that he has, but he just kind of fell into that point guard, get the ball out to the playmakers, let them do their thing.
That's the way we have anticipated playing, you know, and again, we were just not on the same track for a good part of this season here, and it seems like everybody gets a little more open when he's out there. So we know that Geno can throw like that and can perform like that, and it's kind of what we've been counting on. So unfortunately, it hasn't been as consistent as we need it to be.
All kinds of coach speak, you know, you get used to that after a while, and you think about, well, we're improving here and we're doing better there, and then you look at who we played the Jaguars. Now the Jaguars are now 6-3.
Actually, the Jaguars are 5-3,
but they haven't beat anyone really good either.
You're right, Raider Greg. The 49ers are no good. And the Kansas City Chiefs definitely suck big time.
And it's not like we were really making leaps and bounds. We almost won to the Jaguars. We didn't. We lost to the Jaguars. So, I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm sure I'm all alone here, but I really expected a lot more. A lot more, at least organizationally, at least play-wise. Now, Bo Chip Kelly is exactly that. I think the plays are getting called are lame. Our quarterback isn't this guy.
You know, the veterans like Lockett and Geno that have worked so much together, is there things that they can come to you with and say, like, hey, this really works well for us?
Well, Geno's been like that since we've been him. And right now, Lockett's just learning our terminology. You know, Todd's been great. He's played a lot of football, and him and Geno are on the same page. And I think sometimes Geno can interpret. They may have called it one way when they were in Seattle, and we call it this way now here in Vegas. So you can see Geno say something to Lockett, and he'll, oh, okay, I got you, and then this is what we want. So, you know, Geno's always that. Geno's very active in part of our game planning, what he likes, what he sees. He's a student of the game. You know, he's in this building 24/7. He watches as much tape as any coach. So we value Geno's input on a lot of things.
And our defense is tired of playing for the whole game. They're tired. In this game, when they could have held the Jaguars, no, they just went right down the field in the fourth quarter and scored a touchdown.
We just got a video of the tackling.
Oh, we did not tackle well. No, we for whatever reason, we came out of the week and just just as a across the board, we didn't tackle well, and a lot of it was guys leaving their feet too soon, you know. And fundamentally, this is something we work on consistently. That we just it was a surprise that we would be, you know, it was that clear. We missed a big handful of tackles that we should make.
Do you think that's because of just coming out of a bye week, Pete?
I think it's an excuse to say that. You know, we as coaches got to get them right. We just got to make sure they're ready to go.
There's never any excuses. One, I got to do a better job of getting them prepared during the week. That starts there with me. You know, some of the issues that came up, you know, the guys were trying. There were plenty of good tackles, then just the consistency. But, again, it starts with me just making sure that we're tracking the near hip, trusting the shoot, and just doing a good job of getting our eyes where they need to be and pursuing through it and just with the right angles. But you got to do a better job making sure that, you know, we're in better position to play the run. Got to do a better job tackling. So it all came down to the run game.
Like they went through us like we were butter. I'm sure they were tired, but, you know, good teams don't do that. And I'm glad we went for the win. You know, I wasn't holding a lot of stock in the win. One play with our quarterback and, you know, let's just get into it too, because Jenty, I don't know how many times he ran. How many times did Jenty run? Let's see. So Jenty rushed 13 times for 42 yards. 13 was the longest. 13 times. Coach, how come it's only 13 times?
At Kansas City, when there was a 80% pass to run early, you had mentioned the game got away, that obviously is why that happened. But yesterday early in the second half, it was 21 passes to 8 rushes by Ashton. Does that concern you, or is it much to do about nothing?
No, that doesn't concern me. You know, we in the first half, we scored 6 points, you know. And in the second half, we did pretty well moving the football. So we always want balance to some degree, but the balance will come when at the end of the game you're running, you get 10 runs in the fourth quarter, and we didn't get that done.
I know we're still learning, but, you know, I just have a lot of questions about this organization. The coach's 2 kids working for us, you know, not the best part of our team either. Special teams is a wreck. It's a mess. And the special part about this game, yes, their kicker kicks a new NFL record in our house. Our house. Why? Why does this happen?
Been dazed and confused for so long.
Why has it been happening? I'm sorry, I'm just a bit frustrated with this whole crappy team. And yes, I'm a little emotional, but come on, man. This was at least a little bit entertaining. I have to agree with that. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Come on. Come on. Look what the Chiefs did to us. Look, I mean, a decent team just walks through us. Like Denver. I'll just do the pregame right now. They're going to shellack us.
Pete, in your years going against Sean Payton back when you was in Seattle and he was in New Orleans, just what stood out to you as a coach and what made him such a tough opponent to go?
He's a really, really good football coach. I don't know where he considers his start, but all the way back to Parcells is where, you know, I know he was influenced a great deal. That he's always been a really well-schooled group that he coaches. They've always had a good attitude about running the football, been physical, and they're a downhill running team and don't mind working the perimeter, all of that. I think it's – and you think of all the years with Drew Brees, you think of him as a passing guy. But they weren't when you played against them. They were always had a real good conscience about running the football. So he's got really good mix, and he, as we've seen for years, utilizes personnel in unique ways, you know, that fits their style and their makeup. There's nothing about his game that isn't on point. You know, it's smart, it's aggressive. They're consistent. They take care of the football. They've been doing that for a long time. That's what's made him consistently successful, I think.
It's very reminiscent of watching the Saints offense back in the day, you know, with Pierre Thomas and Kamara and all those guys, you know, just, you know, you see how I think Coach Payton does a great job of utilizing everybody on the roster. They all have a role. And, you know, he's done that for a long time. And, you know, it's just impressive to see. So they know who they are. They know who they got in terms of the coaches, and they use them the way they use them to really make sure that their, you know, their best attributes are being shown on the field.
How different is the prep for this, like a Thursday game? How different is it for you guys, the process?
It is really. It's significantly different. We got to cover this game that we just played and get all that done, which is, a Monday, and then there's a Tuesday break, and then Wednesday the game plan starts. Well, this is a Monday, Wednesday is what this is. So, and then each day is just accelerated. So it's equally the same for both teams, and it's a challenge. Everybody's got to work quickly. We got to be really efficient, and we need to get out of these other kinds of meetings as soon as we can, to keep us going. But this is the Thursday challenge that you have, and it's better when both teams come off a Sunday game, to help even it up.
They're coming after us, and it's not going to be pretty, and we'll have to look at it. We'll have to witness it, and the Crusader Raiders definitely going to see it. And Crossbones Kelly will be witness to it as well. But, hey, man, seems like that's what we do. And I guess that's fine. As long as we have each other. Come on, man. The inside has got to be incredibly unstable. With this much losing, there's no possible way there's comfort in the inner circle of the coaching staff. There's got to be some serious discussions. I just don't want the gum assassin to be Mr. Rogers and everything's fine in the neighborhood, because it seems to me that that's the way it is.
Well, we were 2-5 at SC, and then we didn't lose very many games after that point.
Now, I'm not blaming this loss on Geno's last throw, because it should never have been that close to begin with. Genty should be blowing up 100-yard-plus games. What's up with that?
Chip, there has been significant criticism of the usage of Ashton, and I know you're in the bubble and you're not paying attention, but do you think that criticism's fair, or do you think it's just much ado about nothing?
I think he leads the league in rookie rushing, doesn't he, and carry, so... And I think everything we do game plan wise is about winning that game. So it's not about how many gets, how many touches. Maybe some fantasy people are a little disturbed, but we're not coaching for fantasy people, so we're just trying to win games. So I don't, that's not. I mean, he's our number one back, and when we're running the ball, he's running the football. So, and I think you saw him a little bit in the past game the other day, and he's starting to evolve in that, and trying to get him more involved in that way. So he's continuing to grow. He's doing a heck of a job. Really excited that we have him.
And where's our screen game? And where's a toss? What?
Coach, it's been another week where you see Ashton Jennings making these plays in open space, making guys miss. How much of an emphasis is it for you and Chip to continue to play him?
We just have to keep getting the ball out there. We had him out a lot, and the ball went down the field and all that. It is part of our thinking. Yeah, it's not something we need to all of a sudden realize. He needs to get the ball out on the edge. He's difficult as can be to get down, and the big plays are just waiting to happen. So we certainly want to do that more.
What is going on with Bo Chip?
What do you think this trade means for Trey Tucker, and is it safe to say he's the WR1?
Yeah, I don't look at WR1s or WR2s or WR3s. We're trying to figure out whoever catches the ball and runs really fast with it in the direction of the end zone is really good for us. So wide receiver one and all that other stuff, I don't think we've ever looked at it like that as a staff. We have certain positions. What does our Z do? What does our X do? What does our slot receiver do? That's how we kind of look at positions, but we don't look at some weeks the inside guys will be featured more because that matchup is better for you, and then some weeks the matchup on the outside is better for you, so those guys are featured more. But a lot of it, obviously, in all these situations, the defense has a say in the matter, so I think that's part of what the game is. There's a chess match that goes on within the game of how are they going to defend you. You thought going into the game it was going to be one way, and then it is that way. So you kind of continue with the plan that you've made all week. But I've been in games where you thought they were going to defend you a certain way, and then they don't defend you like that at all. So you have to pivot because they made a decision to pivot. So that's the game within the game. So,
Obviously, Jacoby Myers no longer in the picture. Who does that create an opportunity for? And I imagine Jack.
Well, it's got to be multiple guys. Jacoby was such an impact player for us. So I wish him the best. He was a great practice player, and I enjoyed coaching him. He's a heck of a kid, but we're going to have to, you know, you got some other receivers. They're going to have to pick it up, and then you move on. That's, you know, we look at it sometimes as we have to approach it. It's not that it's like a player got hurt. He's out of a game. Then what do you do? It's the next guy's up. So, you know, Lockett and Besh and Dante and those guys will have to step up, and we'll go from there.
Trading Jacoby for draft picks, is that an indication?
I have nothing to do with that. So
they have a rebuilding season?
I have nothing. I'm concerned with Tuesday afternoon as a coordinator. So, that, you know, those decisions are all made. Those are Pete and Spy, and those, I got great faith in what those guys are doing. So, you know, they just told us this morning, and our plan adjusts offensively for not having Jacoby in the plan, you know, against Denver, and that's it. So I don't look any farther than that. You know, we're really good at control what you can control. So as a player, they control what they control. As an assistant coach, you control what you can control, and then the rest of it follows up. But I don't have any aspirations to be a general manager, so I'm not looking at any of that. So.
Is he having some type of a mental issue to me? And then also the defense. Well, I mean, I'm focused on the offense, but, you know, we have Max Crosby, and then I don't know where we go from there. Because it seems to me like we're letting people walk right all over us, run through us for sure. And, well, we're just not very good. And so my question to you is, what is going on to improve what is? Is there any discussion? We traded our best wide receiver. Yeah, we got a fourth round and a sixth round pick. Yay, yay. What are we going to do with those picks? What are we going to do to make the team better? And how is the coach even saying we're doing our best to win now? I think that's horse manure and some bull chip, because I don't want us to pick 10th next year in the first round, or 7th or 5th. You know, if we're going to suck, let's just suck. You're sucking. Okay. I don't know where we're going to pick, but I sure don't want to pick, you know, 8th. But, you know, who knows? You know, here we go. We go on and on and on. Let's hope we can build a team that's worthy of the fan base.
Well, Raider Nation, how have you been? Yes, it is out of the prayers. I know I have been gone, but as I told you, there's work to be done, and it is a lot of work to be done with the Raiders also, too. So I'm going to get ready and say my little bones about it on the So Says the Prayers segment. But as I always say and always do, Raider Randy, would you be so kind for old time's sake? Because I know it is time for So Says the Prayers. It's been a long time coming. Raider Nation, we are in a crisis, in a time of turmoil. No, we did not see this coming at all. Oh, no, indeed, we did not. But what can you do? The first season, yeah, I thought it was going to be kind of fairly rough, but I didn't think it was going to be like that. So, pretty much to the drawing board. But you have to take consideration of two things. One, our quarterback, though he looked at pretty good at first last year, we spent a big bundle on him. Two, we spent on the coach. So it'll be once again, one, two, three, four coaches that we spent money on and we keep paying. So what are we to do? Do we ride it out? Do we abandon ship and make him walk the plank, and they'll be coaching? Spy Tech. Yeah, him. Haven't heard very much from him. He was all over the place, as one of our callers had said, and now he's nowhere to be heard. You know, so is he hightailing? Is he tucking his head in the dirt like an ostrich? And that call, oh my God, man. Pete. Why not just took the damn tie instead of a loss, my man? Come on, bro. Wow. And we got it against the Broncos this upcoming Thursday. And I'm being upbeat because, for good reason, we are in a crisis with the world. People are not getting paid. People are hungry. So sports is just not the first thing that is on my mind. I am very much well in tune of taking care of business as so you should be doing. And I'm not going to bounce and, you know, beat the dead horse. That's obvious because it's sports. And at the present time right now, you either got it or you don't. But one thing I'm not going to do is waste precious time with sports. There's so much going on. And I myself am federal government. And it's not a fun feeling knowing that you'll be furloughed without pay. But right now, all is well. We just keep our fingers crossed though, but oh, man, couldn't the world just be happy what it once was? Could it once be happy if the Raiders would just win, baby? We have games that actually go right, that's supposed to go right, instead of the usual sad stuff, man. And I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to beat up on it, man. It's just so sad. And the Raider Nation deserve better. They do deserve better. I kind of see it in Max's eyes, man. He goes out there and he give it his 1,000,000%. That dude is a baller. I get so impressed when I see him play. It's almost hard to believe he fell in our lap. I just hope he can keep it up and remain positive, because I know it's hard to go out there and give everything just to lose. I think Pete Carroll is cutting his own throat. He should go ahead and say, hey, look, man, this is business. Let me sit you down. Let me put this kid in, AOC, and see what he'll do, which is probably no better. But something's got to give. Something has to give. And all the Raider Nation people out there supporting the show and still coming out there, man, God bless you. And especially those who ask about the old prayers, I hear you. I might not just be able to jump right on and come on, but I would listen to the podcast, and I appreciate every one of you. And thank you, Raider Greg and Raider Randy. And very happy to hear that your wife, Raider Greg, is doing well. I missed that part. Raider Randy, his sister, is doing well. He went to Oakland, and I'm glad that you both have good news with overcoming some serious stuff. And for the Raider Nation that's going through, hold your head up high as best as you can and try your best to not dive into all this negativity, because we're in a very dark place right now, everywhere. Bad news, yada, 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 drama. We don't need that. And I'd like to send a special condolences to Mark Davis, the Davis family. Carol Davis, the matriarch, has passed away. And that should have been the first thing I should have said, but I apologize. And the heart and soul of the Soul Patrol, George Atkinson, passed away also too. I definitely send my severe condolences to him because I got a chance to personally meet him. He gave me his telephone number. But at the time, he had lost his son, so I just kind of fell back. I didn't have very much to really say, and then Oakland left, so I felt a little depression about that, which I'm still going through, you know, because I make no mistakes about it. I am definitely pro, not so much Oakland, but I really just felt like the Raiders seemed so much better in Cali, but I embrace where we are, and we're going to leave it at that. But it was a sad situation. You know, what can you say to a person after they lost their son? So I'm going to leave it at this, Raider Nation. I am very happy to
come on here and throw my bones and do my little segment. I hope all is well, and we're approaching the holidays. Be careful out there, be optimistic, and be hungry in the way of grinding. Grind. Take care of business. Probably got to put sports on the back burner, but you still keep your head and your eyes on it. But you take care of business first, because we are living in a different time, people. I know it's a little different from the prayers, but this is how I feel, and this is where my mindset is at, though. But love you all, and I thank you so much. So says the prayers.
Okay, Raider fans, here we go. The bone line.
7755 Raider. 7755 Raider.
Roll the nation a bone, throw me a bone, get on there and throw your bones. If you don't like your first recording, do it 2, 3, 5 times. I don't care. We'll pick out the best one. Don't be shy. How could you be shy? You're a Raider fan. No, we're all loud and proud. Get on the bone line, because we got some guys shouting out right here. We got some great takes. And here they are, from the nation to your station.
And our first caller is the Mountain Raider. I love this call, bro. It's very special. Check it out. I love it.
Raider Greg, Raider Randy. It's the Mountain Raider from the Mountain State of West Virginia calling in after listening to show 669, the Raider Nation podcast group therapy session. First off, wanted to thank Raider Greg and Raider Randy for doing the podcast. This season, as in many seasons past, it's got to be a labor of love, because there's not a lot of celebration going on, but I appreciate the outlet. This team has seen some dark, dark times over the last couple decades and plus. I do remember much better times, but of course I'm up in years now, and I remember my mom, who's passed away many years ago now, getting hooked on the Raiders, because, she loved those comeback wins in the old AFC West. She loved seeing George Blanda come off the bench and, rally the troops and kick the extra point after he'd thrown a touchdown. And then her favorite player, Snake, came along, and we were, as a family, hooked on the Raiders for life. But it's slim pickings these days, despite the fact that my WVU alum quarterback, Geno Smith, was had hope for, but things aren't working out that way. As folks often say, you know, when they ask me why I'm a Raider fan, it's, I said, well, listen, it's too late for me. Save yourselves. So, again, I appreciate the show. I don't have a lot of hope for the season, but go Raiders.
It's too late for me. Save yourself. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah. Once you're in, man, there's no getting out. I've heard people say they are, but no, I don't believe them. Thanks for the call, brother. And our next caller, you know him. You love him. I know I do. It's the Cheesehead Raider. He's in the house. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Cheesehead Raider caller from Wisconsin. And yes, I know we have a bye this week, but a couple things have popped up that I think could be addressed. First of all, Raiders have contacted Max Crosby and told him they are not shopping him. And he has said himself, I don't want to be traded either. So I understand people are saying we need to trade Max because, you know, for him, he can get a ring, whatever. Max is a big boy. If Max wants out, Max can demand he can get out. He doesn't want out, so we can just stop that talk, leave him right where he is, because we need as much talent as possible. Second thing, just saw that Miss Davis just passed away, the real majority owner of the Raiders. Now this will fall into the hands of Mark. There was a lot of speculation with the death tax of him taking over that he didn't have the money to pay for that. That's why he had done some of the things that he did. We'll see if he has the money or if this now forces him to have to sell the team. And the last thing that I would like to talk about goes beyond football, but it has to do with the Raider Nation as far as this Raider Nation fan is concerned, and I'm sure a lot of other ones will be concerned. Raider Greg, praying for your wife. Glad to hear that she is home. And if you and the nation with Randy would just give me this minute, I would just like to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and compassion that you have for us. We pray that you will place your hands on Raider Greg's wife to continue to heal her, strengthen her, and give strength, guidance to the family as well. We ask of this and pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Cheesehead Raider, I am out.
Well, first, thank you so much. It's very touching and appropriate. Thank you. She went to work today for the first time. And she sounded like she had some pep in her step. And that's been several days. Touch and go. So thank you very much, man. That is awesome. I can't thank you enough. And our next caller, the super fan. And I ain't kidding. Raider Claus. Ho, ho, ho. Is in the house. What's up, brother?
Hello, Raider Randy, Raider Greg, Raider Nation. This is Raider Claus checking in. On my way back from Allegiant Stadium, where I watched overtime, and the Raiders came up short. Not disappointed. I wanted them to go for two. I'd rather go for the win than go for the tie. They showed resilience, but, you know, we can't overcome all the mistakes we made during the game. Missing the extra point, throwing an interception. I mean, it's just the defense was on the field far too long, and I don't know, the defensive calls really, the zone scheme that they're playing, they're just picking us apart. The defensive line would make a play, and then, we tackle for a loss, and then we give up, 20 yards. It's, like I said, they were out there twice as long, and end of the game in overtime, they're worn out. But they fought, they came back, they scored the touchdown, and went for the win. So it was competitive, it was interesting. Probably should have won it, but like I said, we're not good enough. So gonna get home and get ready for the next one. Everyone, be safe. Go Raiders.
Well, yes, I have to agree about the defense. I don't know about the scheme. And the offense too, bro. I quite frankly don't understand what Belichick is doing. I don't understand why we don't have more plays so Geno has more outs so he doesn't have to get sacked and fold up like a cheap suit. I just don't get it. We have the talent. Maybe we don't, but I think we do. Well, we did until we traded him away. So, whatever. But I appreciate the call, brother, and you were there to see it. And, it's the Jaguars. I wish we were talking about the Chiefs or the Colts or the Rams, but it's the Jaguars. Gosh, please help us. And our next caller, Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. What's up?
What up, Raider Nation? This is Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. You know, we didn't get the W, but I like what I saw out of our offense in the fourth and an OT. That being said, I think from this point forward, we need to lean heavy on Brock Bowers. He is by far the most impactful player on the Raiders. He should get a minimum of 12 to 15 targets. Minimum. That's just going to open things up for the other receivers and the running game. And Bowers actually makes Geno look like a legit quarterback. So there you go. All right. Come on, Carlson. Make those extra points. Let's go. It's like missing a tap-in putt. All right, Raider Nation. This is Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. I am out.
Oh, we're using Brock Bowers. Trust me, he's the only target we really have. And that's what everyone's going to know. Denver's going to know. Everyone's going to know it now, I mean, for sure. And I hope he stays healthy because they've been beating on him pretty hard because they're not throwing the ball to anybody else. And we don't have any plays. We know we're running the ball, what, 17 times? Not even that, 12 times? We got to run the ball. We got to run the ball because that's going to change everything. Brock Bowers changes a little bit, but if we could run the ball, it would be great. Or screens. I know, I'm a broken record. I know, it's the Jaguars, bro. And our next caller, the Cheesehead Raider.
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Wisconsin, and we lost to the Jaguars. Overall, clearly the team played better, but then again, the last game they played, they only had three first downs, so I don't know how you could play worse. Still have clearly problems, don't run the ball enough. Geno stares down receivers, that's why he had it one interception and would have had two if it wasn't the receiver coming back for it. Don't have a problem with going for it on to win the game in overtime because, as Herm Edwards said, so you got to look at it that way. You know, there's question of who Geno was looking at. I saw two receivers, one in the back of the end zone. I believe that's who he was throwing to because that's the direction that he threw the ball to. And then I think it was Tucker was standing inside the end zone in the front of it on the other side. So there's a couple of receivers there. You know, I didn't really have a problem again with the play call. It was just, of course, as always, the execution of it. And this is probably heresy to say this. One thing I noticed in this game is that the right tackle was driving Max all the way outwards, which opened up that side, and Trevor Lawrence had a couple of runs over there. I don't know if that's a part of the scheme or if that's just Max doing that, but that clearly needs to stop. And with saying that, Raider Randy, last call I called in during the bye, gave a prayer to Raider Greg's wife, and feel that I might have left you out, my friend. I have been praying for your sister. That prayer goes out to your sister just as much as it went to Randy's wife. Both of you, your families, have been in my prayers since I found out about the events of both of you. So I hope that the Lord has put his hands on you or your loved ones and things are going well. And until Thursday, when we go to play the Broncos, this is Cheesehead Raider, and I am out.
Well, first, let me thank you for Randy. He's probably going to get in here, too, with the door. But long story short, that's very cool, man, and we appreciate it very much. Never can have too many prayers. You know what I'm saying? But on the team, it was the Jaguars, man. And yes, our defensive scheme, I don't even know. I try to look and figure it out. It just seems like we're lost. Our secondary, you know, we can sack the quarterback and they could be third and 22. And the next play, first down. I mean, that to me, there's a problem somewhere. Special teams is a problem. Who's our gunner? Who's the gunner? Who goes down there and gets the... So far, I think on special teams, we've lost more yardage now than any time in the history that I've watched this team. This is the worst special teams. I thought Al Davis cured this team of that because we've been going steady ever since, except this year. And I don't know. Please tell me there's something happening in the coach's office. Something. But come on, man. And our next caller, my good brother, Matty Raider from Albany, New York. What's up, my man?
What's up, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, Matty Raider, Albany, New York, calling morning after the Jags game. So when Carlson missed that extra point, I turned to my wife and I said, just wait. This is going to bite us later on. I watch a lot of football, and it always does, but I knew for our team it would. And sure enough, that was the deciding factor, send us into overtime where we could have won 24-23. But I don't want to be a negative Nancy on this. That was probably one of the more entertaining games since week one, probably since week one, and probably the best I felt since week one. I thought our guys came out. They played hard. I think Jacksonville's a good team. You know, it's just ups and downs. I thought it was a great game. I just wish we would have came out on top. I actually think this was a little bit promising. There's a couple of things. Brock Bowers is just unbelievable. He's going to be the best tight end in the NFL, in my opinion. I think he's just a phenomenal player. He absolutely changes the entire game on both offense and defense. Just, he's a game-changing player. He is unbelievable with him on the field. And I like the two tight end sets with Mayer. But if our brilliant offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly, could figure out by spreading out the defense, then we could offset that defense with Genty and really get him going as well. But maybe they can figure that out because Brock has been out pretty much all season. But he was just phenomenal yesterday. Wow. And Geno actually played decent. I mean, he had to pick, but whatever. Just shows a difference with Bowers on the field. It's unbelievable. And then the last thing, open arm tackling. Are you kidding me? Just, or maybe like, what's his name? Butler hitting, Tootin or whatever and being proud of himself for, laying into him, but not wrapping him up. And then Tootin gets like another 5 yards after the hit. Guys, wrap up and freaking tackle. It's unbelievable, our team, dude. Every year we're saying this. But anyways, I just thought it was a hard-fought game. We didn't come out on top, but I'm not feeling too bad. Whatever. It was that, like I said, if we can build on stuff like this and actually make some smart decisions moving forward, then we'll see. I don't know. Like I said, we're always optimistic, but at least that was some entertaining football. We got the dreaded Donkeys, who barely beat Houston yesterday, and we're going to their house. Just be great to beat them Donkeys and kick them in the horse teeth Thursday night in front of everybody, just with the upset. Anyways, I can't stand them. Let's go Raiders.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was entertaining, you know, but we could have done so much more. There was more. There was more we could do. And the Jaguars, I don't think they're that good. They're better than us, obviously, but I don't think they're that much better. But man, I don't have much hope in Bronco territory, but if we're going to win any game this year, I mean any game, I would love it to be against the Broncos at their house would be most special. So let's just hope that the coaches had a powwow and they're all getting it together and there's going to be one great team, the Super Freaks, show up in Denver and lay them out. That would be beautiful, brother. Beautiful. And our next caller really needs no introduction, but maybe half of them do. We have the Crusader Raider and, of course, Oscar. Now, he says he's the president of Australia. I thought he said he's the prisoner in Australia. I don't know. You tell me. Let's hear.
Hello, Raider Nation podcast. This is Keith Smith, the Crusader Raider from London, England, and I'm joined by
Oscar here.
Oscar, where are you from?
I'm Brisbane, Australia.
He's the president of Australia. There you go, Brisbane, Australia. Hey, Raider Greg, we miss that not having you here this weekend. I think we could have got the win if you turned up, but never mind. It was a good game. We enjoyed ourselves, didn't we, Oscar?
We did, yeah. It was good that we went for the win, and even though we lost, it's better than not going for the tie.
So, anyway, chin's up. Let's hope that we do better when we go to Denver, and keep up the great work with the show, and go Raiders.
Catch you later, Greg. Good to hear from you, mate. See ya.
Oh, what a time you had, I'm sure. Oscar, I know you had a lot of fun, and, you know, you always have fun, Keith, and, yeah, I wish I could have been there too, but naysay. I've got my wife to take care of still. Till she's fully on the mend. But I'm glad you guys had fun. I know what that fun is like. I've been there, and you know it. And our next caller, Alfonso, calling from Mexico City. Check it out.
Hello, Raider Nation. This is Alfonso. Hello, Randy, Mr. Greg, thank you for keep doing this podcast about the last game. It was a very exciting game. I think many people will be upset of the last play, but I think it's you need balls to make such kind of a play. But also, we are not like competing for playoff spot or whatever, so it was just to give confidence to the team. If the play worked, probably we will be very happy and having more hope than what was after such a terrible development of the play. But regarding the last game, like 2 weeks ago, with the I think the team improved a lot, or I don't know, but I think that the Raiders against the Chiefs, they just didn't want to show up. I mean, they didn't take the game seriously, so they just went with a very bad mentality. But we don't know, because it was totally different for this situation against a team that is playing so well. I mean, you can see the running backs. They have a very QB, and the defense play dirty like we used to play, but we cannot just keep playing like that because, you know, as Roger Gregg mentioned a long time ago, we need to change that because we were having so much penalties and so much we give away many games just with penalties. But anyways, thank you, Raider Nation. Send my regards to everyone. And thanks for these people. Thanks for this podcast made by the people, for the people. Thank you so much. Hasta luego. Bye.
I really like your description of the game with the Chiefs. We didn't show up. Yes, we did not show up. I don't know. The coach looked like he was there, but maybe not. You never know. Thanks for the call, brother. And our next caller is Nebraska Raider. What's up, my brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is Nebraska Raider calling in. I had to take a day off after that overtime. Another 1-point loss. At least it wasn't a fucking blowout. You know what I'm talking about. But good to have Bowers back. My gosh. how he changes the aspect of the whole freaking offense. And Mostert on special teams, I know we tried to get Genty going a little bit. He had some. I think Kelly's just being a pussy about that. You know, look at this physical specimen that you have. I know our offensive line sucks. That's okay. So don't run it right up the middle. Get him to the outside. Look what he can do. Holy shit, that works. Excuse my language, but this is the Raider Nation podcast, and we're allowed to do that on here instead of like Q Myers or JT the Bricks show, which I've never called into, just listened to. But let's see, what else? Jacoby. He came back, and now he's gone for a 4th and a 6 from the Jaguars, for those who don't like that terminology. But 4th and a 6 is better than what we would get for a compensatory pick, which I believe that we would have just released him at the end of the season. Hate to lose a talent. Hate to lose that team camaraderie in the locker room, because he's, he wasn't even on the Raiders and he helped us. Remember backward pass to Chandler Jones? There you go. And with that being said, listen to this.
As the Reverend would say, why we on this particular mission, we'll never know. But I do know here today that the Black Knights will emerge victorious once again.
Amen. Amen, Reverend.
And with that being said, it's whooped some Bronco hole ass on Thursday. God bless Raider Nation. And this is Nebraska Raider, and I'm out. And so is Dylan Raiola, by the way. Sucks. Oh, well. Talk to you next week, y'all.
Yeah, run the ball a little more. Bull Chip Kelly, man. Telling you. I could sound like a broken record, but there's some issues. Someone better throw a box of tissues in the coaches' meeting, because somebody's got to get on somebody's ass, and you know what I mean. And last, but never least, Raider Jim from the Pacific Northwest. I love this guy, and this is a special take.
Raider Nation, Raider Randy, Raider Greg. This is Raider Jim from the Pacific Northwest. And, our boys were competitive, and for the most part, it was a good watch. Offense looked better under Chip Kelly, more rhythm, more intent, still a bit clunky. I mean, and can someone explain to me why we don't give Genty more touches? I mean, we drafted him very high in the first round. Brock Bowers continues to look transcendent. But, just the play distribution was still a bit clunky from my point of view. As for Mr. Smith, another interception on a ball to Mayer. Same story as earlier in the year, a throw to Dante Thornton where the receiver didn't come back to the ball. I mean, hey, Raider receivers, sometimes the ball doesn't come to you. You have to go get it. Got it? Great. Maybe next week we can move on to other issues aside from the fundamentals you should have learned in Pee Wee football. Defensively, we started fine, but tackling was flat out atrocious. I mean, I love Malcolm Butler, but come on, man. Don't take your frustrations on a stupid substitution error by throwing a shoulder shove into the running back without wrapping and to make the tackle. And Jeremy Chinn, same deal. Once you make contact, keep your legs driving to finish the play. And Malcolm Kuntz, you got to hold the edge on run defense twice. You got caught daydreaming and gave up big games. Again, these are Pee Wee football fundamentals, folks. Special teams, I mean, other than Raheem Mostert, another meltdown. Carlson starts the game off with a kickoff penalty that gives the Jags the ball at the 40-yard line. Then he misses an extra point. Oh, and then there's Trammell, who ran one back in overtime for 55 freaking yards. That's not special. I mean, it's just appalling. That's a clinic in how to lose field position and momentum, folks. Time of possession, that also tells a tale. Jaguars had it for about 43 minutes, actually. The Raiders, a mere
27. And it's not a fluke anymore. It's a pattern. It's why we keep finding new ways to just lose, baby. So did we improve? A bit. At least we weren't humiliated like we were against the Chiefs. But now we go into Mile High on a short rest, face the blue and orange Denver Omelets. Then we get 10 days before we face the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Maybe then we'll see more rookies getting real reps. After all, I mean, that's why we drafted them. And maybe a different QB, and near the end of the season, we'll see Cam Miller, as he is a winner. As it is, I'm watching this team with a jaundiced eye and already thinking about the draft. Priority one, go get a legitimate offensive lineman, and then go get a QB in the late first or early second round. Realistically, Raider Nation, we're at least 2 years away from meaningful winning football. This is Raider Jam from the Pacific Northwest. Raiders.
I think your frustrations are all of our frustrations. I've been screaming it out since the beginning of this show about the play calling and actually the special teams. And this is just the Jaguars. It's not like we're playing someone like, well, Denver, which are a juggernaut right now, but we can beat them. We've done it before. I say we do it again. I say the Super Freaks come out. Hey, 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 hey! Super Freak, Super Freak, Super Freak Day, yow! Everybody sing. And just amaze everyone, including themselves. Then they can go back to whatever they were doing before. But please be Denver. Please don't embarrass us. Please. Thank you for the call, brother. Always good. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Raider Nation Podcast. We're here. We're at this part of the season, and we all see what's going on. We just hope for improvement and a little bit of change. And, well, that's all you can do, can you? I'm Raider Greg, and I am out.